If I Were a Man by Charlotte Perkins Gilman. Molly was true to type. She was a beautiful instance of what is reverentially called a true woman. Little, of course. No true woman may be big. Pretty, of course. No true woman could possibly be plain. Whimsical, capricious, charming, changeable, devoted to pretty clothes and always wearing them well, as the esoteric phrase has it. This does not refer to the clothes. They do not wear well, in the least, but to some special grace of putting them on and carrying them about, granted to but few, it appears. She was also a loving wife and a devoted mother, possessed of the social gift and the love of society that goes with it, and with all these was fond and proud of her home and managed it as capably as, well, as most women do. If ever there was a true woman, it was Molly Matthewson. Yet she was wishing heart and soul she was a man. And all of a sudden she was. She was Gerald, walking down the path, so erect and square-shouldered, in a hurry for his morning train, as usual, and, it must be confessed, in something of a temper. A man. Really, a man, with only enough subconscious memory of herself remaining to make her recognize the differences. At first, there was a funny sense of size and weight and extra thickness. The feet and hands seemed strangely large, and her long, straight, free legs swung forward at a gait that made her feel as if on stilts. This presently passed, and in its place, growing all day, wherever she went, came a new and delightful feeling of being the right size. Everything fitted now. Her back snugly against the seat back, her feet comfortably on the floor. Her feet. His feet. She studied them carefully. Never before, since her early school days, had she felt such freedom and comfort as to feet. They were firm and solid on the ground when she walked, quick, springy, safe, as when, moved by an unrecognizable impulse, she had run after, caught, and swung aboard the car. Another impulse fished in a convenient pocket for change, instantly, automatically, bringing forth a nickel for the conductor and a penny for the newsboy. These pockets came as a revelation. Of course she had known they were there, had counted them, made fun of them, mended them, even envied them. But she never had dreamed of how it felt to have pockets. Behind her newspaper, she let her consciousness, that odd, mingled consciousness, rove from pocket to pocket, realizing the armored assurance of having all those things at hand, instantly get-itable, ready to meet emergencies.